Now, from fruit tree planting, let's get into pruning. This segment, we're going to bring in John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Greg's got us planted. We've got our fruit trees picked out. If we've already been down that process a little bit and have some matured fruit trees, let's talk about care and pruning of them.
Well, as you all have noticed across the valley right now, trees are starting to drop their leaves. The Chinese elm trees near my place are just dumping leaves, and that's going to increase in a big way in the next couple of months. But your fruit trees, you'll notice all your stone fruit trees, your apricots, your peaches, your plums, your pear trees are all going to start losing their leaves. Deciduous trees, which lose their leaves this time of year, are best pruned in the winter. So as they start to lose their leaves, we start thinking about our pruning schedule for all those trees. Now, they have different requirements. You need to know when your fruit trees actually produce fruit. Sometimes they produce fruit on first year's growth. Other times they produce fruit on second year's growth. So you can't prune them all back at the same amount, because you might end up pruning off the actual fruit-bearing branches. So you need to look at your apples, look at your plums and your peaches and your different stone fruits, and do a little bit of research, find out what those pruning requirements are, and then you can go about pruning them back.
Now, can you tie that into a strategic thinning? Because those stone fruits, to get a good, you know, fist size apple, you know, we don't have big Macintoshes here, but your Anna apples still get decent size. You've got to thin. Can you thin by trimming and not have to worry about it in the fall, or do you still have to go out there in the fall and pick one apple off of every cluster?
Well, you can prune and do that thinning, that selective fruit thinning, different times during the fruit set. You know, sometimes it's easier when the fruit is smaller, because then the clusters aren't going to get so crowded. Sometimes if you wait until the apples are nearly mature, those clusters of four and five apples are so tightly bound together, it's hard to kind of pull them apart. So yeah, a little bit of thinning early in the season. If you've had your fruit long enough, several years, you can know about how much fruit you can start taking off. With apples, you're not going to be quite as aggressive as you would be with peaches, for instance. Peaches, you know, get so darn heavy, and because they bear fruit on current year's growth, all the fruit is out on the ends of the branches, and they'll get real heavy and drop down. So we usually recommend coming in early in the season when the fruit's just, you know, very small pea-sized fruit and a little bit larger. As soon as you can start to see the fuzz on the little fruits, you can start to thin them out. We usually take off out about a third, maybe even 50% of them early on. And you might even think about taking some of the fruit that's a little further out on the branch, because that's going to take a little of that leverage, that lever arm off the end of those branches to make them a little more secure in the wind, bring the weight, you know, closer to the center of the tree.
And especially as it relates to the peaches, you put all this time in there and you get them thin, and about the time they're ready to pick it, the birds find it.
Yeah. Well, I was going on to say, too, that you want to be sure that you prune them a little later in the season, because once they start getting bigger, you'll start to see the branches droop a little bit under the weight, and that's time to go in and thin them out again. Because, as you were pointing out, if you do that thinning carefully, the fruit that remains on the tree is going to be larger in size. The tree will be able to support that and direct all the sugars to those remaining pieces of fruit. It's hard to sometimes bring yourself to start.
That's what I was going to say, John. There's a psychology to that, because it's like, I don't want to prune the fruit. You know, no, I want it all.
I know you don't want to give up. You can't see that fruit dropping on the ground, but you have to remember that at the end of the season, having a nice, safe tree that has no broken branches and beautiful fruit that's nice and large is your end result.
That's how they're doing it in your farm fields, Julie. If you want your store quality, you got to thin.
Okay, I've been counseled. I'm going to be better at it.
We didn't say it was easy. We just said you got to.
Yeah, so you've got your thinning sequence, and then you've got your fruit that's starting to mature. And you'd mentioned also, what was that last point you brought up about the
birds eating it right
about
the harvest time?
Yes, the birds eating it. A lot of my customers are asking us, you know, do we cover our trees? What can we do? And if they're small enough to cover, it's worth it to try to get a bird netting over. Don't put it on too early in the season, because then the branches likely actually grow through the bird netting, and it's a pain to try to get it out. And it's basically have to rip it and destroy it to get it out. But wait until they're ripe enough. You start to see the birds starting to peck. then go ahead and get your bird netting over the trees. Our apricot has gotten so big that we just don't bother netting it anymore. It's, you know, a good 15 feet high, and it's just more work than it's worth. We get 300 or 400 pieces of fruit on the tree, and we just let the birds have what they will. We only have about a two-week pruning season anyway. So we'll put down a nice clean sheet underneath the tree, and I'll just come in and gently shake it, you know, and then we'll pull the sheet out, harvest that fruit, then bring the sheet back in the next day. And literally every day, there's new fruit that's ripening. It's because obviously the fruit that's going to be dropping will be the ripest fruit. You don't want to go in. You can go in and start picking, you know, pulling on each piece of fruit. And if it pulls off in your hand, it's nice and ripe, ready to eat. But that's a lot of work. I just gently shake the branches, and you get a little bit of damaged, bruised fruit. But man, it's a lot easier than going around and trying to pick all those, you know, two or 300 pieces of fruit. But I liked it that way. Sometimes the birds will get a little bit. I'll even cut the little pieces that the birds have pecked, you know, cut a little piece of that fruit off and try to save the rest. And
usually find the sweetest fruit anyway, so you might as well try if there's something left.
They're going to get their bit, and we just leave those to them. But we love to process ours. You know, what do you do with 300 pieces of fruit? We usually cut ours and either freeze them. And that's a really nice summer snack all through the year. Or you can dry it. We like to dry ours too, and put it in a little dehydrator, and you can process a good, you know, 30, 40 pounds of fruit off of a mature tree.
Snack on it all year long.
I know. We got peaches in our fridge right now. I got mangoes. We went to the market this last month or two. Club 3000 Club, you guys familiar with that?
I've heard of that.
Market on the Move.
Explain that real quick in 30 seconds for the listeners.
Well, this is a wonderful place. Look it up online. It's a 3000 Club. It's called Market on the Move. They have a couple locations, distribution centers here in town. You can get up to 60 pounds of produce for $10. You just can't beat it. And if you get on their email list the night ahead of the market, they'll tell you what's available. Cantaloupe, watermelon, grapes. And all this summer, they had mangoes, unlimited numbers of mangoes. So I'd get two or three cases, go home and process them all, and then we would just start dehydrating them. And we've just got a freezer full of dried, wonderful dried mango. And for $10, you just can't go wrong. It's really great.
Now, on our citrus, we leave them alone because they're getting ready to go into harvest. We don't want to be trimming or pruning or messing with them.
Yeah, you don't want to be pruning your citrus because that's like taking the winter coat off your plants just before they head into the cold weather. And, the citrus will start ripening. Again, the color of citrus, by the way, is not a function of ripeness necessarily. You know, people think that the citrus turning colors is a function of the sweetness, but it really is a function of the temperature. Temperatures start to drop, they'll start to color up really nicely. But it doesn't mean necessarily that they're ripe. Some of the Valencia and the Arizona sweets are later ripening. The navel oranges are really early ripeners, December, January. So you need to look at the schedule and find out when your citrus is at its optimum ripeness before you start picking it. Just because it turns color doesn't mean it's going to be the best to eat.
Now, if somebody missed that early September fertilizing around Labor Day, is it too late? Or is it Memorial Day in May? It's Labor Day.
This is a good time. We like to do fall fertilizing this time of year. As I've said in the past, fall fertilizing, if you're going to do an annual fertilizing, the research has shown is the best time, because all of our plants can use that fall fertilizer for their big spring push of growth. Roots are very active in the soil throughout the winter season, even though the top growth is starting to slow down. Especially our deciduous trees are very active in the soil, and they're processing those nutrients and storing them and ready for that big spring push. Quite often, if we wait until spring or early summer to start fertilizing, it's kind of after the fact. The trees have already had that big push of vegetative growth, and so if you're going to fertilize once a year, this is a great time to do it. And we can do that pretty much up until, you know, middle of November, maybe 1st of November. You know, the next couple of months are fine.
And that's all trees. We're not just talking citrus here. Your evergreens, your shades, your oaks, your elms, your fruit. I mean,
sure.
Even something going deciduous and dormant, you can still fertilize now. It'll still take it in, and store up for the winter, like you were saying.
Yeah, and there's some argument for fertilizing all of our trees just from the standpoint that we are always raking the leaves, that we don't really allow the natural nitrogen cycling to take place. We're taking the leaves, raking them, bagging them, and throwing them away. And for that reason, maybe a general nitrogen fertilization for all of your trees is a really good idea, and fall's a great time to do it.
See, I use you all the time to not rake leaves at home for that reason. So I thank you for that.
I think that's just an excuse, Roaming.
The nitrogen cycle.
I agree.
It's science. It's not even science. It's nature.
You're right.
And nature needs this. Leave the leaves. We have Julie, you're up next. What are we going to talk about in our Farm Bureau
the
segment?
The fall festivals, our market basket. Food prices went up a little bit. Got to stretch those food dollars.
So, all right, we'll get to that next segment. Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, thanks for joining us here this Saturday morning talking trees.
My pleasure.
And if somebody wanted to schedule an arborist?
Just go to itreeservice.com, the letter itreeservice.com.